Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, where students can conduct NASA research, produce an original play, or join an in-house marketing agency as early as their freshman year. More information at carthage.edu. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am really happy to be sitting in this room with two very important and able educators here in southeastern Wisconsin. First of all, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, joining us for his monthly visit to the program. And with him, Dr. Beth Ormseth, who is the interim superintendent for the Kenosha Unified School District. And just ahead of yet another fall semester, both for Gateway and for Kenosha Unified, it's really great to be able to have both Dr. Albrecht and Dr. Ormseth with us to talk about all that is ahead in this new school year, and in particular, all of the complications brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic, which make everything that is already complicated still more complicated. And so we'll be exploring some of those challenging issues as well. And Dr. Ormseth, in addition to being interim superintendent of Kenosha Unified, is, I understand, a Gateway Technical College trustee. So that is also a reason why she is here. So, President Brian Albrecht and Dr. Beth Ormseth, we welcome you both to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. So, President Albrecht, it is indeed just ahead of another fall semester, the 30th of August, the fun begins again.
Isn't it hard to believe? Although I will say there's just a little bit of a tint of fall in the air. Beautiful mornings, great sunshine this week. But you can tell some of the leaves are starting to turn a little bit of color, and it won't be long, and I'm sure all of our schools will be open. But you're so right. I want to just start out this morning by saying congratulations to all of our students who completed their summer semester last Friday, and thank all of our faculty and team members here at Gateway that helps support them on their journey. Several have graduated. We had another nurse pinning ceremony for more graduates in the nursing program, and I attended the Law Enforcement Academy graduation for our police officers, and so many great career pathways here at the college. And every semester, so around every 15 weeks or so, we graduate another class. And as soon as we do that, we turn around and I'll say sweep the floors and get the things ready for the next semester. And we will start, as you mentioned, on August 30th with students here on campus. And on August 23rd, so next Monday, our faculty and staff will be back. And as you mentioned early, you know, we don't ever want to get comfortable with COVID, but we've put all the protocols in place to keep our campuses safe. And I know our teams are anxious to get back to meet students face-to-face and really take advantage of the resources that Gateway provides.
So it does always feel like Gateway never closes, but and not that we're closed now, but we really are in a little bit of a period in between, a transition period. So I suppose there's a handful of students someplace maybe meeting in classes, but generally speaking, there are no classes right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 10 years ago, Gateway moved to what's called a tri-semester calendar. Most schools typically have two semesters. We moved to three because of the important need in our community to help our employers find a workforce, but also to shorten the time to degree for our students. So if we can keep them in class longer, which is what they wanted, and still be able to offer a high-quality program, that was an important move for us to go to a tri-semester calendar. It does allow greater flexibility for the program offerings here at Gateway. It allows us to offer more services to our students and, of course, for our students who are many of them are parents and running families, so they needed to make sure that they didn't take, you know, three months off before the next class. They wanted to get them finished. So, yeah, we still have students that are taking online programs during the interim breaks. But for the most part, we've got a couple of weeks just to spruce things up again.
Very good. It's time well spent. I know before we get to Dr. Ormseth, you want to tell us about a couple of things, beginning with something that involves the Manufacturing Skill Standards Council.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. You know, Gateway has had a very rich history in working with industry partnerships, and in many cases, we offer industry credentials. An example might be an automotive. Our Automotive Service Excellence credential might be our Snap-on partnership and our Snap-on diagnostic certification pathway. Well, most recently, the Manufacturing Skill Standards Council out of Washington, D.C., announced that Gateway would be the first two-year community and technical college to offer a certification pathway under MSSC's guidance. And so we're excited about that because it helps us reinforce the importance of Industry 4.0 connections to certification pathways and help students, again, validate the competencies that are being taught in a third-party setting with some level of certification and credentialing. So congratulations to all of our team members in the manufacturing area this time. But it's not just there. It's healthcare. It's IT. All of our industry sectors work closely with industry.
I know you want to say a word of welcome to a new class of the so-called Promise students. This is such a happy story.
You know, it's amazing. We have over 1,000 Promise students here at Gateway now. And the Promise student is for students that maybe had not thought that they would go on to post-secondary education. Lots of reasons, right? Might have been some sort of academic preparation that needed to be filled. It could have been an affordability measure for their families that made post-secondary education difficult. And several years ago, through our foundation, we established an endowment that would allow greater opportunities for students to receive scholarships. And it essentially says that if a student applies at Gateway under the Promise program, meets some qualifications that have been preset by our foundation, that after the federal financial aid allocation, the foundation will fill the gap. So if they're short by $2,000, our foundation will pay for it. So I don't want to say free college degree, but there's a lot of work involved in that, but certainly a financial investment for those students. So let me just say welcome to the 140 new Promise students that are joining us here this year. Last week, they finished what we call a bridge program, which is an orientation to the college, and they get a chance to meet some of the deans and faculty members and talk about their career paths. That was important to do that, and it's really helps get people acquainted with what the experience of college is all about. I also want to just give a big shout out to our grants team and our dual enrollment team. Last week, the Department of Education announced that Gateway would receive $1.5 million to enhance our dual credit programs. These are programs that are offered at the high school in partnership with the college to, again, award students college credit while they're in high school. Collectively, on average, we serve over 6,000 high school students. So this additional $1.5 million is really going to help ratchet that relationship up with our K-12s. And then lastly, I'll just say to Katie Graff and to Ray Kukari, who are guest speakers on a national webinar this Thursday, actually, highlighting Gateway's work with our K-12 partners. So it fits perfect with today's theme as we have Beth with us today, and she'll give some great examples of how important it is that we build seamless transition pathways through Promise programs, through dual enrollment programs, and provide the additional funding to make all of that available.
Fantastic. By the way, who are Gateway's K-12 partners?
Yeah, so every school district in the Tri-County area is a partner with Gateway. They're all a little unique. We have some really exceptional partnerships like we do with Lakeview Academy, where Beth was the principal for many years, and that's an embedded Gateway experience right at the high school, to academies that we've established. Elkhorn School District has an example of an academy in which we offer programming to their high school students. Waterford, I visited recently. We have full-time faculty at Waterford High School. We have full-time faculty at Park High School over in Racine. So every school district has a partnership with Gateway. It's just offered a little bit unique depending on what the needs of that community are.
It's a great idea. Yeah. So not one size fits all,
exactly.
But rather let's serve each school district the most effectively. Fantastic. Well, we are so happy that we can have with us in the studio this morning Dr. Bess Ormseth, who is interim superintendent of Kenosha Unified and a Gateway Technical College trustee. We welcome you again to WGTD.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about your professional pathway, which has led eventually to you in the position of interim superintendent. What has your career in education been like?
All right. Well, thanks again for having me this morning. I'm a product of KUSD, so my roots in KUSD start as a student. Went to Durkee Elementary, Lincoln Junior High, and proud graduate of Tremper High School. Went off to college, came back, student taught, then began teaching career at Reuther High School, taught science. I was a geology major, so I taught earth science and space science. I can identify any rock. If you give me a rock, I can tell you what kind of rock
great.
It is
yeah.
and minerals in it. And
I'm not sure we'll get to that today, but another day.
These are monthly. I can come back. But taught at Reuther, and then administrative assistant principal, then principal at Lance Middle School. From there, I went to Indian Trail High School, I was lucky enough to be the principal there when the high school opened. Mm. I went there with just the academy, and opening up the high school was a pretty cool experience, being able to establish the third high school in town. And then went to the ESC for a stint as assistant superintendent in charge of the secondary schools. And then missed the kids, went back to Lakeview Technology Academy, which Brian won't say it on the radio. I get it. It is his favorite. Lakeview is his favorite school. I know you can't say it.
It is. I'll say it on the radio.
Okay, all right. Was principal at Lakeview for 4 years and then asked to be interim superintendent this year. So very honored to do it.
You can tell why the school board tapped Beth on the shoulder and said, we need your leadership. I mean, to have the experience of a student going through KUSD and then providing guidance for a variety of different schools at many different levels, that's the base of knowledge that's going to help continue to propel KUSD forward. And I would just say, absolutely, Beth, Lakeview is a very unique and special school. I enjoy going to visit the kids there. They're already taking college courses, and they have a direct focus in manufacturing and engineering, STEM-related careers. And under Beth's leadership, we continue to grow that partnership.
Very good. So it sounds like if we counted up the years, you spent a substantial number of years as a teacher. I mean, and if we balanced the years you've spent teaching versus years administering, it would be a pretty good balance, and maybe even more years teaching.
Well, no, I think it probably tips the other way. I've probably been in more years as assistant principal and principal, but certainly the history, and this is like my 24th, 25th year in Kenosha Unified, so I certainly have the history. It's funny, as you go through your career, you all of a sudden you look around and I'm like, oh, I'm the old timer here. I'm the one with the history. I'm the one now that, you know, so, but I'm certainly at that point in my career for sure.
That is funny. I say the same thing. I look back now and I think I'm on my 17th year here at Gateway. So it goes so fast. And yet every year there's more excitement because new activities, new projects, new families coming to the community, you know, and it's a great way to stay young and motivated because education has a start and stop to it for most part.
So what did it mean to you to be given this opportunity to take on the role of interim superintendent for Kenosha Unified, especially at a challenging time? I mean, a challenging time for school districts everywhere.
No, I mean, it was quite an honor. I mean, it's just kind of unbelievable that be asked to do this. And, you know, being in Kenosha Unified, I know what great people, great staff, great teachers we have, great administrators, great students, great families. So, I mean, I knew it was a solid organization, but quite an honor to do that. And to, like you said, kind of during this time to offer some, if I can offer any stability or kind of, you know, kind of reinforce the foundation until we find a permanent superintendent, I'm very honored to do it.
Very good. Well, probably the biggest question on everybody's mind is the start of this new school year, this fall semester. And of course, it is beginning kind of under the cloud of some changing dynamics regarding the pandemic. And so it can't be easy to sort of figure out the best way forward. So we want to hear from you what this return to school is going to look like. And maybe as you're telling us about that, you can also kind of help us understand who behind the scenes is discussing some of these points and issues and coming to the decisions that are ultimately made.
Yeah, you know, I think I probably wasn't alone in the thought. I thought when the vaccine came out and the school year ended, I'm like, oh, we put a hard chapter behind us. And, you know, I think as things, you know, evolved in the summer and you know, as Delta variant and numbers and, you know, all kind of evolve, it's kind of, holy smokes, we're kind of back here at this point where we're looking at, you know, having to really put a lot of time and energy into what our school's going to look like in terms of remediation efforts, in terms of, you know, practices we're going to put in place. So to answer your question, we are in person. We have a virtual option for families. I'm pleased that the vast, vast majority of our parents chose the in-person option. So this year when we open our doors, we should feel like any other school in terms of enrollment. We do have a virtual option for elementary parents that is what they call synchronous. In other words, the elementary student will log on and see a live teacher teaching. Our secondary option is through eSchool. So that is more of a self-directed, log on, do the curriculum. You have teacher more of as a resource. They're not necessarily instructing. So I'm very excited that we're going to have just kids back, and it's going to feel normal again in terms of the enrollment. Certainly, we're still going to have things where we're looking at still distancing as best we can. Elementary is still cohorting, where they are staying in a group, where they're not just mixing. Obviously, we'll have the hand sanitizing stations and, you know, the material, like the clean surfaces, high-touch surfaces will be cleaned regularly. So, you know, we're still looking at things, whether it be procedures for field trips, whether it be masking, whether it be, you know, even procedures with visitors in the building. But we sure are hoping to get back to what normal school felt like. And, you know, to who is looking at it? Ultimately, it's the school board. Ultimately, school board decides. It's called Leadership Council. My administrative team, we meet weekly and review and kind of get feedback from principals, from families. We certainly have received quite a few email messages from families with perspectives, which we appreciate. So we're hoping to feel more normal, I guess, is a short answer. And we're going to be large and in person, and we're excited about it.
It sounds so much like every school that I've interacted with, whether it's our K-12 partners or our higher ed partners, because everyone is still kind of working their way through, you know, what the impacts of COVID might mean. And I'm sure that there are lessons learned, Beth, at KUSD, like there are at Gateway, that we're going to just continue with our cleaning protocol. It's a good practice. We should do that. Reminding each other about, if you're not feeling well, stay home. And those are the kinds of things we probably should have been doing for many years before COVID, but COVID continues to highlight that. And I think part of our challenge is just ongoing communication, to be good listeners, as Beth described, but also to share as much information as we have with our families and with our students here on campus. And, you know, Beth's right. We serve 20,000 students here at Gateway, so that's 20,000 different opinions about what COVID means to them and their personal circumstance, right? It might be themselves, right, their families, and others they're taking care of. So we've got to respect all of that and find a way to keep the institution moving forward and yet protecting the individual rights of each person.
By the way, are you, for the most part, resuming all extracurricular activities as they functioned earlier?
Yeah, our sports, we follow the guidance of WIAA, so that will be open and as we were last spring. We are clubs and activities and extracurriculars with a safety plan, we're calling it. So if they put in, whether it's cleaning protocols, whether it's distancing, whether it's they want to get on the bus in terms of spacing. So yes, you're going to see a lot of that return this year.
My understanding is that there is a little more money in the coffers coming from the state government. Tell us about the scope of that additional funding and most likely where that will be directed for Kenosha Unified.
Well, there's been four rounds of federal stimulus. The state budget, it's a two-year budget, had a $0 increase for K-12 schools. So when you think about, we had a balanced budget. So as you look at health insurance, liability insurance, whether you look at CPI for consumer price index raises for staff, we actually, with a $0 increase from the state, we actually are about $6 million short. So the four rounds of stimulus money from the federal government obviously will be used to kind of bridge that gap until we kind of get back to a balanced budget operating. But there's been four rounds of federal stimulus money. The first couple rounds went a lot to technology. We are a one-to-one district, so a lot of computers were purchased, a lot of the infrastructure, putting stronger Wi-Fi in, looking at providing hotspots for families that don't have internet. We provide hotspots for them. So a lot of that stimulus money went to that. Also purchasing hand sanitizer. There was a time that was liquid gold. Purchasing that. Purchasing supplies for like our sick rooms. So if staff's going to go in with students are in there not feeling well, the gowns and the masks and the gloves for that room. So a lot of the stimulus money initially went to that. Now, moving forward, we have some money earmarked for our facilities. It's currently out looking at projects, whether it be to provide air conditioning. Basically, the purpose is to improve air quality.
Mm.
So they're looking at air conditioning schools that haven't been air conditioned. They're looking at HVAC controls to kind of control airflow. So a big chunk of money is going to that. And then the big stimulus money is called ESSER-3. That's one where we have to get input from stakeholders. So we certainly are going to put together a plan and then put that out to get some input from the community and staff and families and students to see where to do that. So Governor Evers also did have a little bit of federal stimulus money that he allocated per pupil. So that means $2.3 million for us. So we are, you know, bridging that gap. But yeah, so ESSER-3 is coming, probably air quality, probably learning loss. We're putting some intervention teachers in some of our high-need schools to kind of help put the kids back on the right track in terms of learning. So all kinds of moving parts.
Right.
It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, yeah. It sounds like, putting all the different pieces together. And similarly, at Gateway, the same thing. Federal funding had designated purposes. So half of our federal funding under the CARES Act went directly to students for student aid support. Could have been transportation, could have been housing, might have been tuition. They could choose where they wanted to spend their allocation. And the rest, again, geared toward infrastructure kinds of efforts like technology and creating greater access points for students. We continue to monitor that on a pretty regular basis. Over $6 million has been directly allocated to students already. And so we're going to continue to work to make sure that we build that bridge, like Beth said, whether it's on this infrastructure side of the facilities or whether it's the academic support side to help students build their own system of support to continue their education.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear then, the vast majority of any new money that's coming to you is actually coming from the federal government.
Correct.
Even though some of it maybe is transacted
via the governor.
But the money is by and large federal money.
Correct.
For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and with us as well, Dr. Beth Ormseth, who is interim superintendent for the Kenosha Unified School District. And what a time to come on board into a position of like that. When exactly did you begin as interim superintendent?
July 1st.
Oh, boy.
And it's been about a month and a half. Feels like a little longer, maybe.
But that's all right.
But I think part of it goes back
to your opening story too, because you've been involved in a lot of these decisions from the very beginning, watching the school district grow, and there's always going to be community needs that are higher than they're able to deliver as a school district. So balancing all of those expectations and needs, and that's why you're such a strong leader for our school district, and why it's so important that you continue down this pathway of helping our community understand how education can be a critical asset for not only the students that are completing and want to go out into the world, but also for the growth of the region in building a collaborative and more focused spirit of our community.
Hmm. Dr. Ormseth, what would your advice be for parents at the onset of this new school year in terms of preparing their children for whatever is lying ahead, and particularly given kind of the rather extraordinary circumstances under which this school year is about to begin?
Yeah, I guess I would say we are excited to partner with you. We are excited. We encourage communication with the families in the schools. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what we can do differently to meet your needs. And your children follow your lead. And we hope that you have a positive view of schools and a positive attitude towards schools, because your children will follow that. And we will do everything we can to help bring you on board with us and have it be a positive outcome.
I think that's so important, too, the idea of following lead. I know that many parents had some experience with having their children at home over this last year, and it's a difficult job. And now take that times 20 or 25 different students and trying to manage all the individual learning styles and the progress that a student might make and their academic success. And I think whether it's the teacher in the classroom or the school district in general, everyone wants to see all of the students succeed. So I think we're all focused in the right line, and Beth just summarized it extremely well, that this is a partnership, that no one can do it alone, and we need each other in order to make it successful.
Right. This has been an incredibly challenging period for students, but also for teachers. I mean, and in many cases, we're talking about veteran teachers who taught for decades in, you know, perhaps a certain manner, certain way, and have had to really dramatically revamp what they've done and how they've done it, particularly for those teachers, and I'm sure it was the vast majority, where in some cases they had students in the classroom and students on a screen home and trying to serve both sorts of students. I'd love for you to just say a word about that, because I'm sure from your perspective you understand better than most of us, actually, the scope of the challenges that our teachers were facing. By and large, how did they manage it, and what has the school district been able to do in terms of providing support and opportunities for further development?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say how incredibly proud I am of the staff. I feel like Kenosha Unified as a whole, the product we put out in the timeline was awesome. When you look at, we offered an in-person and virtual option, you know, before a lot of school districts did. And that is a direct correlation to the hard work that our staff did. You know, I was at Lakeview last year, and you think about a teacher who teaches welding or 3D printing, or, you know, how are you going to do that to those at home and those in person? And what they were able to put together was absolutely amazing. I know at Lakeview we had take-home kits where teachers were putting together kits of materials for send home to the at-home kids. You know, they were, you know, they had a camera on them. They had to have headphones on to have questions from the kids who were at home. They had to be able to move around the room to help the in-person kids. So to answer your question, the staff had to really rethink how they do everything. And, you know, at the middle school and elementary level, even if they were all virtual, still, I mean, can you imagine having virtual kindergarten kids? And, you know, yet we had people do that just seamlessly and awesome. And so the professional development, a lot of it was technology, learning how to use cameras, learning how to use Google Classroom or Zoom or, you know, all that stuff. So a lot of the professional development was technology and just the different tools out there to take assessments. Unbelievable. I think some of that stuff will stay. I mean, you talk about, you know, posting assignments in a place or putting in a place where parents can look at what assignments are, or, you know, having instant feedback on it, you know, with an assessment. I mean, a lot of this stuff, like you'd said, is good practice. It probably will stick around. But yeah, our teachers did awesome, and the learning they had to do to be able to put that product out was massive. So I'm very thankful for them.
Yeah, it's quite a journey that our schools and especially our teachers have been on over the last year and a half. And I know that content expertise is what we look for when we hire, right? So if we hire a welding instructor, we want them to have welding experience, or a nursing instructor, we want them to have served as a nurse. And so that content experience has always been there. That needs continued professional development because the industry is changing. Then add on top of that the professional development needed for the delivery model, which typically could have been more, hey, I'm just going to take my knowledge and skills and apply them and give more of an apprenticeship mentoring type experience. Now it's a virtual experience. So as Beth mentioned, it's learning new software platforms. How do you adapt and adjust to that? So faculty and teachers both deserve a great amount of respect for the effort that it took in order to get to this point. And I like the idea that a lot of it will stay. So now it's really elevated the how do we define a teacher, right? So you've got to have lots of different unique skill sets to do that. And I think as we continue to grow and evolve in the educational community, not only will that be a solid base of experience for us, but it'll give us a chance to customize or individualize the learning environment for the student. And we call it hybrid here, where some of your courses are online, or even within a course, some experiences are online or delivered virtually or in a new format. And some of it is back on campus in front of a traditional teaching model. So all of those different types of experiences will enhance the current educational structure and systems that we all support. But I too want to just echo Beth's comment and give a shout out to all teachers, or all educators, I'll say, throughout the Tri-County area, because everyone has had some unique circumstances put on them to be able to continue to deliver and graduate young people and to continue to support our community, and whether they're going to post-secondary education or directly into the workplace.
Mm-hmm. And the parents. I mean, the parents had a lot of heavy lifting also as it related to, you know, getting that kindergartner to sit down, you know. So what they were able to manage in the time of a pandemic and balancing work or all the things they had on too, our families really stepped up too.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Dr. Ormsted, are you concerned, I suspect you are, about the what learning occurred over this past year, I mean, with different students and some who probably in some respects flourished. I mean, I have a nephew who I think actually learned better in some of these virtual environments for whatever reason than he would in a standard classroom. But I think there are many students where this was extremely difficult, and chances are over the course of this challenging year, they probably did not learn what they would have learned in a normal year.
Yeah.
And here we are with a new year. So maybe particularly for those students where this was a difficult year, and maybe they are not quite where we would otherwise hope they would be on the brink of a new school year, what would your advice be maybe for parents in terms of preparing students for this school year to come?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would tell students is, you know, we're excited to get them back into a routine. You know, I said at the Lakeview graduation that, you know, these seniors is a year like no other. Like, some of them literally rolled over in bed and logged on to the Google Classroom. And those days, my friend, are not here anymore. You're going to have to get up and get dressed and get yourself to the bus stop and get yourself to school. So, I mean, I think routine is one thing that we're going to try to really establish with students. And our little kids, you know, Frank and Wilson are back in session right now. They're a year-round school. So they started. And it's certainly, you know, giving the teachers some whether it's assessment tools to kind of see where kids are at. A lot of the stimulus money, millions of dollars of the stimulus money, are going to adding additional math and reading teachers to try to help maximize their time with an adult with a direct instruction. Yeah, I mean, even the year before in March, where we kind of shut down and went virtual, you know, the following year, last year, we kind of talked about reviewing the prior class, the prerequisite, kind of the end of the quarter. Mm. So there'll be probably a little bit of taking a pulse on kids, especially when it's like Algebra 1 to Algebra 2 or, you know. So I think that will be. So, yeah, I mean, we put some money into doing some additional supports in math and reading and, you know, just kind of get after it and kind of get them in there and get them back in the routine. And kids are resilient. They will flourish, I'm sure.
Hmm. We have not yet talked about something else that's on your plate. If all the responsibilities of being interim superintendent weren't enough, you are also serving on Gateway's Board of Trustees. First of all, tell us a little bit about that invitation when it came to you and why you accepted this.
Yeah, I mean, I've this has been my 6 years, Brian?
I think
it's
so.
Been a few rounds, yeah. You know, this was something that was intriguing when I saw the opening come up because, you know, spending a lot of my time at the high school, I understand how important it is when students leave us to have a plan, to have a path in life that leads them to a family sustaining, whatever, you know, wage, that they can have a nice life. And one thing that I think maybe we underutilize in Kenosha is kind of the connection with the technical colleges. So the opportunity to interview and be selected to be on the board was awesome. And I'm hoping that my K-12 experience can kind of help support that. But to me, it's getting out and, you know, getting the word out there about Gateway and all the programs they have and kind of the path it can lead you to. It can lead you into a really nice place in life.
Hmm. And no one does it better than Beth. I can honestly say that. She has served as our board chair. She was a representative on our National Committee for Career Pathways, continues to be an advocate for the work that we do here at Gateway, and is demonstrating that with the dual enrollment and professional development experiences of the Kenosha schools directly in partnership with Gateway. So we've been able to expand nursing pathways, manufacturing pathways, STEM pathways, as a result of Beth's continued encouragement for her principals, her teachers, her guidance counselors to create an awareness of what resources resources are available in our community, and I could not be more proud to serve with her. She continues to be a very strong advocate for collaboration on our board, whether it's through diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, making sure that we provide the additional financial resources for our campus programs, and she's one of those trustees that I'll say is present in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So if there are events or activities, Beth is there. She likes to come to the graduations to see the students complete their degrees, and I'm just so proud to have her on our team.
Very good.
That's awesome. Thank you, Brian.
You've been around for a long time, of course, Dr. Armseth, and seen a lot of changes, as all three of us have. And one of the arenas in which I think there is kind of a new sort of approach is when we talk about career preparation and career mm-hmm. counseling, and it seems like that's done in a much more sort of sophisticated fashion than it once was. How would you characterize the way in which the school district approaches that particular matter and tries to serve its students?
I think we're getting better at it. We certainly have embedded a different markers within a child's K-12 career, whether that's formally introduced to them. Our youth apprenticeship program has kind of come back under the guidance of Cheryl Cothey, a retired CTE director for us. And that's really been a positive influence, where we are partnering with local businesses. And we hope more businesses can come on board and partner with us. We have more students than we have places in terms of looking to do this youth apprenticeship. But it goes both ways. I mean, I know businesses have to get their structures in place, whether it's HR or liability, you know, they have high school kids on their, you know, in their factories. I understand that. But we certainly try to have students. We take interest surveys. We help guide them after their ACT tests. So there's the formal guidance of staff. So we're trying to get better at it, but I do think youth apprenticeship has been an awesome addition.
Yeah, and I think historically, if you look at sort of the foundation of Gateway and why we partner with our K-12 schools, you know, this started all the way back in 1911 when Gateway was founded. It was founded in partnership with Racine Unified School District as a vocational school, as an extension of the regular continuation school model in the public schools, and eventually led to now what's called the Wisconsin Technical College. 16 colleges like Gateway across the state with the intended purpose to serve that link between high school and adult learning. At a very local level. And when you look at the career development pathways that have evolved as a result over these many years, you can begin to see how industry sectors evolve in a community and how you can build capacity. So like I mentioned earlier, healthcare right now booming all over Kenosha, right? So we're building extended pathways for young people as early as middle school, actually.
Wow.
And giving them dual credit programs in high school to get their certification so that they can go either directly into work or they can come to the college and receive their nursing degrees. Lots of different ways to do that. Same thing in manufacturing, IT. Mm-hmm. Probably, Beth, you know, 10 years ago, IT was like this really far out idea, and now it's smart cities,
so
smart manufacturing,
yeah,
and data science, right, and analytics, and things we didn't even talk about just a few years ago are new pathways that are being developed between Kenosha Unified and
there's
Gateway.
There's some amazing careers that can come out of those pathways.
So for employers in the area, and of course there's so many employers who are just desperate for new workers, are there ways that they can, in a sense, partner with or connect with the school district?
Absolutely. I think the formal way, excuse me, youth apprenticeship is a formal way that runs through our CTE office that gets our students in their organizations or businesses on a formal pathway. We also have every spring, we've got businesses that, you know, want to post job openings for summer employment, things like that. Our high school kids are always looking for summer jobs or part-time jobs, but even partnering with, you know, formal partnerships, or I mean, they can contact my office or they can contact Aaron Williams, who's our new CTE coordinator. I mean, we certainly will. They want a partner, we'll accept it and we'll find a partnership.
You're ready to dance.
Yes.
I wanted to give you a chance to talk about KUSD's connection with a couple of very well-known community groups, namely the Boys Club, the Girls Club, and Building Our Future. Tell our listeners about the connection that these organizations have with Kenosha Unified and the really impressive kind of support that they are giving to the school district.
Yeah, we have so many community partners that we're very thankful for. And Building Our Futures and Boys and Girls Clubs are two of those, whether it be youth employment programs in the summer for our youth that kind of they have jobs where they're earning money, but then they also go to classes and learn some of the soft skills that employers are saying that people are missing today. Well, they offer summer programs, whether it be, I know when we went virtual, Boys and Girls Club was instrumental in helping families get online and get connected. And Building Our Futures organization, they certainly have targeted some of our most needy schools, and they have put a lot of resources to those, and they can certainly show reading increases and data that shows that, you know, when you put some resources toward a school, toward our students, you know, they respond. And we're very thankful for both of those community partners.
Wonderful. Yeah, you know, that reminds me. I think we'll do a radio show on our community-based organization partnerships, because I think what Beth's talking about is so critical. The obvious ones are working between the educational institutions, the K-12 system and post-secondary, and then it's easy to talk about the employer connection, because that's kind of the end result where our students go into the employment sector. But there's so many community-based organizations that we both need in order to really provide all those support services for our students and their families, whether it's, you know, the food insecurity initiatives or housing initiatives that need to be addressed, or in this case, after-school programs, transportation initiatives, all types of things that community-based organizations help to build an infrastructure for, to allow our students to get to school, to learn to read, and to be successful. United Way is another great example. Yeah. I'm always intrigued with the day of reading, and that's so important, because it's one more connection point for young people to say it's important to read.
Exactly.
Very good. So you have been on the job, Dr. Ormseth, as interim superintendent since July 1st, and you are a veteran of the school district who, going in, certainly had some notion of what the superintendent does. Yeah. Now that you're actually sitting in the chair, what surprises, if any, have there been in terms of the kind of responsibilities that are yours?
Right. What I would say is it's kind of an interesting, and I knew better, but, you know, every job that I have taken, I thought I knew. So when I was assistant principal at Lance, I thought I knew what the principal did. And then when I became principal, it's like, I didn't realize I did all this, you know. And then, you know, like I thought I knew with Indian, you know, then, you know, at Indian Trail, and then you get there and you're like, okay, there's a lot of this, you know. And I was at Indian Trail, I talked to my supervisor, Dan Tuna, every day, and I thought I knew what he did. And when I took that role, I'm like, So, you know, you're right. You I came in with certainly one lens of what I thought the job was. But you know what? It's awesome. It's so much more than I thought it would be. It'd be able to connect with communities, whether it's going to the Rotary meeting or the Kiwanis meeting or doing a radio show or sitting on a panel. I mean, it has been wonderful to kind of understand the bigger community perspective. I think maybe I kind of was looking at it more from a KUSD, and I've been pleasantly surprised in terms of like the community engagement that this role has. And you know, I sure hope that in my 1 year of doing this that I can help kind of shore up some the foundation here and kind of put some things in place and kind of have a nice spot for the permanent superintendent to come into.
If you could have the community better understand the way Kenosha Unified functions, or, you know, for that matter, just public schools in general, because I think it's very safe to say that there are plenty of people in the outer community that really don't understand, and it's understandable that they wouldn't understand just all that goes into making all of this work, making all of this possible. If there's anything you could sort of unlock for the community to help them better understand it, what do you think it would be?
I guess what I would say is I think everyone has a background because everyone's been through K-12, right? So everyone has an experience that they bring forward in developing their opinion or their view of Kenosha Unified. And, you know, I've often said many times when I speak with an unhappy parent, when I talk to them, it's usually not what the initial concern is. There's usually a root reason for it. When they were in school, they were treated poorly, or when they were in school, they were teased, and they didn't want that for their child. So, you know, I guess, you know, what I would tell the community is, you know, we're almost 20,000 students, and it's a lot of moving parts, and we truly have some of the best educators and most caring people, and we'll try and communicate with us. If there's something that isn't going how you want it to go, let's be proactive together. And we want you to have a positive experience, and we want you to have a good K-12 experience. And, you know, let us know. I mean, you will be heard. If nothing else I can say is that you will be heard, and please let us know.
What a great perspective. And I think it goes back to your earlier comment, and maybe you've coined a new bumper sticker or T-shirt for us. I thought I knew, right? I thought I knew, but I learned something as a result of being a good listener, expressing ideas or concerns, and having other people hear them and maybe provide some additional context or additional knowledge or information that you maybe didn't have. And I think that's something we can all use in general in society today, is that, you know, before we jump to a decision or a conclusion on some circumstance, let's learn more about it, because it often is some other influence that helps drive a person's emotions in a certain way. And that's just really good advice for all of us.
I agree. I think another good bumper sticker is you will be heard.
Yes, there you go. That's right.
Also,
that's
for
right.
Really,
we're going to
really
need a bigger bumper.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, Dr. Beth Ormseth, it has been just great to have you here on the morning show. And we know you have an incredibly busy schedule, probably every bit as busy, maybe busier than President Albrecht's. But we really appreciate you making time for this in your schedule to share the story of Kenosha Unified. And we certainly hope that you and all of your colleagues with Kenosha Unified will have a very, very successful school year. And we appreciate all that you and others have done to ensure that that happens for the sake of the young people of your school district.
Well, thanks for everything. It's been nice being here, and I've come back anytime, and I appreciate it, and thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And President Brian Albrecht, on the brink of another fall semester here at Gateway, appreciate you being here as well. This is fun.
My pleasure, Greg.
Tomorrow on the morning show, Dr. John Seeger, who is the CEO of a nonprofit called Population Connection, joins us. And on Thursday, Carlo Nevacosi, who is the Director of Public Health for Walworth County's Department of Health and Human Services, with a COVID update. That will be coming up on Thursday's morning show here on WGTD. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, where students can conduct NASA research, produce an original play, or join an in-house marketing agency as early as their freshman year.